me and this body about prayer. He is calling us into prayer. We've had prayer meetings. We've had prayer teachings. We've talked about prayer. We've read about prayer. But what he said, my house shall be is what? A house of prayer. We just never prayed. And say, I'm tired of hearing about prayer, Pastor. I'm sorry. Sorry. We're going to talk about prayer. Talk about prayer until I get released from talking about prayer. I told you earlier that I believe in the 90s that God is going to quicken to us about prayer. Now, what you have in your laps, in your hands, is what I'm going to call a warfare map. And we'll get into that shortly. If you will, just fold that thing up, tuck it in the back of your Bible or someplace, and we'll get to that in a few minutes. I'm going to go through today quickly what I have to share, the first part, and then I'm going to spend time on the warfare aspects of prayer. Last time we talked about prayer, we talked about thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're going to talk about that again today, but this time we're just going to get into the aspects of prayer itself. We may make some references to some things that we've talked about just to get us all on the same wavelength, and then we'll go, okay? Well, let's pray. Father God, this is your day. Every day is your day. The Lord, today the body has come together and is corporately sitting here. And Father, they don't want to hear from man, they want to hear from you. Let our ears hear what the Spirit has to say to the church today. Father, we want your presence. We want you to minister to us. And Lord, I just want to be a willing vessel, something that you've poured something in so that it can be poured back out into your people. Let me be a meat offering, something sacrificed for you. Father, let me be a drink offering, something poured out for you. Father, let me minister to your people. Let me be a good shepherd. Let me be that will lead them to good water and to good food. Father, let this place today be a river of life. Plant us, I pray, by springs of living water so that we can produce fruit in its season. Our leaves will not wither. And Father, everything that we put our hands to will prosper. We ask you today to minister to this thy people. In Jesus' name, and we all say, amen, amen. Reading in chapter 6 of Matthew, beginning at verse 9. Pray then in this way. Do you think he meant that? Pray then in this way. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now we know that the Lord didn't want us just mimicking this prayer. It's not that we're to quote this verbatim. But what this is an outline to help guide our thoughts and to help guide our thinking and to help guide our spirit as we come before Father God and pray. And pray, and pray, and pray. That's what it's for. That's its purpose. These are the issues that we need to pray about. We need to pray about the kingdom of God. We need to pray about His will being done on earth as it's done in heaven. We need to pray about our daily provisions. We need to pray that we're not led into temptation. How many of you have been tempted? Have you been praying that you wouldn't be? Most of us don't. And we wonder why we're tempted. Well, these are things that we're going to be talking about over the next several weeks, and we've been talking about for a while. And I just want to share some things that I'm learning and that the Lord is revealing to me about prayer. And these aren't things that I'm just finding to teach. I'm not looking for messages anymore. What I'm sharing with you is what's happening in my life. If you hear me pray, you hear me pray what I'll be saying to you today. And now today I want to take time and show you why I pray this. Now, we saw the last time that we said, come kingdom of thy, be done will of thy. We saw the last time that this is a militant, military type of a prayer. It's set in the Greek, in the original Greek, it's set with the verb first, which means emphasis. Come kingdom of God, be done will of God. And remember, we said that. Let's do it again. Let's say it. I want you to get militant because we're going to start warfare in here in a few minutes. And I want you to do it with me, just like you did it the other time. On three, we're going to say, come, thy kingdom. Be done, thy will. All right? Do it. One, two, three. Come, thy kingdom. Be done, thy will. Amen. And that's the way it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be a militant, military, active type of a prayer. And it's setting something forth. And the reasons that we're doing it is to establish the priorities in our life. What does the Bible tell us to seek after first? The kingdom of God. So we are setting our mind, we're setting our tongue, we're setting our life on course by saying, come thy kingdom, be done thy will. The first thing that we're doing here is setting the course. And James 3:6 talks about that our tongue does what? Sets the course of our life. It can set a fire of hell, or it can set blessings upon you. And I want His blessings. And the way I get His blessings is to get in His kingdom. And the way I get in His kingdom is to pray. Come, thy kingdom. Be done. Will of God. Where? On earth. We got to get that established in our hearts and in our lives. The kingdom of God is not a chair in heaven. The third thing this prayer will do is bring the kingdom of God and the will of God to earth. Is that what Jesus said to do? He didn't say, pray that the will of God be done in heaven. It's already done there. He wants the will of God done on earth. Jesus saw the will of God being done on earth. And that's got to be established in our life. The word earth there is G-E. I don't know how you say it. I'm not even going, you know, it's G-E. It means soil. It means region. It means a part of the globe. Your earth is where God has put you. It's your region. It's your part of the globe. And when we pray that type of a prayer, then what I've just given you on that map, what I've given you there is our region. That's our immediate region. We have more authority in that region than any place else on the earth. Will you agree with that? Your family's there. Your church is there. Your cities are there. And as it comes to that point, applies, that's where our earth is, and that's where we pray that the kingdom of God will come to. So bringing the kingdom of God and the will of God to my realm and to my region is what we're praying here. Now somebody tell me quickly, what is the kingdom of God? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. It's Holy Ghost righteousness, it's Holy Ghost peace, and it's Holy Ghost joy. It's not a chair in heaven. The kingdom of, say that back to me, the kingdom of God is not a chair in heaven. The kingdom of God is not a chair in heaven. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Jesus went out preaching. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom of God is in heaven. The kingdom of God is at hand. It's in your grasp. The Pharisees came to Him in Luke 17 and 21 and asked Him, when would the kingdom come? And Jesus said this to them, behold, the kingdom of God is in your midst. King James Bible says it's in you. We've got to understand that the kingdom of God is something that is obtainable, has been obtained, and will be obtained. But remember this verse of Scripture. Jesus said this, the kingdom of God is obtained by violence, and violent men press in. You're not going to get it with a mamby-pamby attitude. There is a nature that God has deposited within every being to get angry. Has anybody here never gotten angry? Anybody? No, nobody. Everybody's all gotten angry. God put that into you for a reason. Who are you to get angry at? Amen. Principalities and powers. Spiritual weakness in high places, darkness, the devil. Get mad at him like you get mad at your husband. Get mad at him like you get mad at your wife. Amen. That's what it's about. It's coming. Come thy kingdom. Be done thy will. It's a militant attitude coming against the principalities and powers. It's within us. The kingdom of God is obtained by violence, and violent men press in. Press in. It's not a chair in heaven. The kingdom of God is where Jesus sets on our hearts. It's a life that's baptized in righteousness. A life that's baptized in peace. A life that's baptized in joy. You can be living in a mess. Things can be earthquaking in you and all around you. But you can be in the kingdom of God, having righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's the kingdom of God, Juanita. Now, As I enter into this type of a prayer, I have to become militant because the enemy does not want me to experience the kingdom of God. So there I come into militant military attack in four basic areas. And these four basic areas have many, many subdivisions, and you can take these and divide them into as many as you want to. And I'm going to list some today. But there's four basic ones. Number one is my life. I have got to get the kingdom of God in my life, or my life has to get into the kingdom of God. Christ in me, me in Christ. There has to be a uniting of that thought. My life. If I don't have the kingdom of God in my life, I'll never be able to bring you into the kingdom of God. I can't take you somewhere I'm not. Right? We've got to understand that to minister to our children, to minister to our wives and to our husbands, we've got to understand that we've got to get the kingdom in our lives so that we can take them in. First thing that I always pray for and pray for the kingdom of God to come is my life. Second thing, my home. Kingdom of God can't be in my home if it's not in my life. Third thing is my church, which is in combination with the fourth thing, my region. My life, my family, my church, and my region. In those four areas, I have an authority. God has given me a particular authority in that earth, in that region, in that part of my life, that part of where I live at, where He's put me, where He's planted me. You're where you are because that's where God wants you to be. In these areas, God has given me some degree of authority. Therefore, I can pray, number one, militant, military, warfare prayer. I can pray, number two, to establish the priorities in my life, in my family's life, in my church, in my region. And then number three, I can bring the kingdom of God to earth where He's placed me at, in the authority realm that He's given. Now that's what I pray, that's the four basic areas, and I want to look at those four areas just as quickly as I can. Number one, my life. I have to pray for righteousness, peace, and joy to come in my life because that is the kingdom of God. If I want the kingdom of God in my life, I've got to have righteousness in my life. Now, I have got to understand two aspects about righteousness. Number one, I don't come into the kingdom of God by my righteousness. Who is my righteousness? 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30 says that He has been made unto us righteousness. It's not my righteousness. It's by Him, and it's His righteousness that I can come in. But I also have to understand another aspect about righteousness. James chapter 5 verse 16 says this, that the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man accomplishes or availeth much. I've got to understand, even though I can't come in by His righteousness, I still must be a righteous person. And the way I'm made righteous is by the sanctification of the Holy Spirit in my life. Allowing Him righteousness in what? The Holy Ghost. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in what? The Holy Ghost. It's Holy Ghost righteousness in my life. So I pray for righteousness to come in my life. Every day I confess that I will be righteous. I set my course, I set my rudder, I set my tongue. Today I will be righteous. Second thing I pray for is peace. Biblical peace is a warm feeling. True or false? False. Look at me. I want to take just a few minutes on this one, on Philippians chapter 4. Biblical peace is the guarding of your heart and the guarding of your mind. That's what biblical peace is. It's having your enemies under your feet. It's walking above your circumstances. It's moving in the realm of the heavenly. Philippians chapter 4 will make this clear, and there's many, many passages about the peace of God. This will sum it up for us, that I can give you what I feel that the Lord wants to give, and then we can move on. Philippians 4, beginning at verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord when things are good. And again, I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord when? Always. Always. Christians need to rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your forbearing spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in good things, in everything, not for everything, but in everything. You don't make requests made known unto God for things. It's in things that you make requests made known unto God. It's in our circumstances. It's in where we find our lives at that point in time. It's in everything. In everything, by prayer and supplications, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, if anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. And look, and the God of peace shall be with you. Do you see in this passage that number one, peace comes after prayer. Peace comes after supplication, and peace comes after thanksgiving. In whatever that you're in. We've got to understand as Christians, as the body of Christ, if we want peace, we've got to learn to pray. Oh, woe is me. Things are going bad. Well, have you prayed? No. Don't want to pray. Don't feel like praying. And we don't, do we? When we get in those situations, we don't want to pray. We want to be mad. We want to shout. We want to cry. We don't want to pray. But what does the Bible say to do? In everything, what? With number one, prayer. Number two, prayer don't get it. Do number two, supplicate, petition. Get down on your face before God. Get serious. Don't just ride down the road and whisper a prayer to the Lord. Get alone with Father and say, Father, this is bothering me. This is robbing my peace. Supplication, intense prayer, then thanksgiving. In whatever place that we're in, we need to thank God for that place. Now, that's hard. That is difficult. But I think that our fellowship has come to a place of understanding of that. We go through fire so that we'll be purified. There's never purification without heat. There's never molding without beating. This is his principle that he sets throughout his Bible. We are made pure. Pure by tribulation. Paul said in Acts, he says, by much tribulation, we enter the kingdom of God. Tribulation brings us into the kingdom of God. It brings us into a place of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Now, this is trying to say to us. If we want peace, then we've got to learn that it's in our mind realm. It's in our thinking realm. If we want peace, we've got to understand that it's guarding our hearts and it's guarding our minds in Christ. If we're not having peace, it means then that we have stepped out of the eight boundaries that He gives us there. He says, I want you to think on whatsoever things are true. We've stepped out from truth if we don't have peace. I want you to think on whatsoever things are honorable. We started thinking on something that's not honorable. I want you to think on whatsoever things are right. We started thinking about something that wasn't right. I want you to think on whatsoever things are pure. We start thinking about impure things. I want you to start thinking on whatsoever things are of good repute. I want you to think on when people come and tell you something, let it be a good report. If it's not a good report, don't listen to it. It'll get you out of peace. It'll rob your peace. The enemy wants to get your soul, doesn't he? What is your soul? Your mind, your emotions. He wants to get your emotions messed up. He wants to get your mind messed up. He wants to get your thinking messed up. He wants you thinking on the opposite of these things. He says, I want you to think on those things that are excellent. And I want you to think on those things that are just great. I want you to think on these things. He says, if you'll do that, you'll have the God of peace with you. The main thing that I learned as a pastor is that when people don't have peace, they've allowed their minds to get on things that they shouldn't be on. They've allowed their thinking to get in a place that's not in this eight-sided boundary. And here comes the enemy, because you've gotten out of your peace zone. Here comes the enemy. He messes up your emotions. He messes up the way you think. He messes up all about you. He wants your soul, and you've given him place. And I've done it, and you've done it, we've all done it. Haven't we, Lily? We step out of where our peace is, and we step into a place where the enemy can attack us. Peace comes after prayer. The enemy is after our soul. So when I pray this, in this manner, when I pray for my peace, then I'm praying that my mind will not be affected by the devil, that I will give him no place with my thinking, and that I purpose with my heart when I pray to think on these things. And I say every one of them. And I purpose for my life all that day will be thinking on good things, and then the enemy can't come and get my peace. I talk to Father here about anything I do not have peace about. Now, if my circumstances are causing me problems, I talk to him about my circumstances. And circumstances, as you know, can be finances, marital problems, things going on at work, children. Talk to him. If something has gotten your peace, pray about it. Get down and supplicate about it. And then thank him for it and for the answer. And for the peace that's going to come if you'll purpose in your heart to think on that eight-sided thing. I purpose my rudder and I purpose my peace for that day. All right, then I pray for joy. My life needs joy. Does it? Nehemiah 8:10 says the joy of the Lord is what? My strength. If I want strength, what must I have? Joy. If the enemy gets my joy, the enemy gets my strength. Psalm 16:11 says, in thy presence is fullness of joy. If I don't have his joy, then I'm not in his presence. I've entered my soul realm or my flesh realm, and I've entered the realm of darkness, and his presence is gone. And Psalms 32:11 says, shout for joy, all ye that are upright. If I'm not walking in joy, there's probably a chance that I'm not upright. There's something happening I need to get straightened out. Psalms 51:12 says, the joy of my salvation. Woo. I may understand that salvation is an ongoing experience. Amen. I mean, I'm not talking about losing it now. I'm talking about walking in it. Right? Walking in salvation. I'm not walking in my salvation if I don't have the joy of the Lord. That's what I'm trying to say here. And Galatians 5:22 says that the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, and so forth. I'm not producing fruit if I don't have joy. So the joy of the Lord is important. God's people are supposed to have joy. We're supposed to be the happiest folks in the world. Think about that. Y'all, Bonnie, we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be laughing, and giggling, and having fun. Church should be fun. If the Lord here, will there be joy here? In his presence is fullness of joy. You say, that's what I'm talking about. So I demand myself to have joy. I set my course. I set my purpose. I will have joy today. I will walk in joy. I will not let the enemy come and take my strength and my joy. So I pray for righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And then I pray for his will to be done in my life. Now, I believe, this is what I believe. I believe that every day of my life, God has something for me to do. I believe that. I believe in what Psalms 139 says, that the days of my life are written. Written in a book before I was even conceived. Is that what the Bible says? I believe God has a purpose and a plan for me every day. I believe that every day of my life, there's somebody that I'm supposed to affect. I'm supposed to touch their life. I'm supposed to glow. I'm supposed to bring forth the kingdom of God to them. I'm supposed to be an example to them. Paul says, those things that you have both heard and seen in me. That's what I'm supposed to do. And I believe that every day of my life, I have a will of God for my life. And so I pray, Father, I purpose today to do your will. I submit myself to the leading and the guiding of the Holy Spirit. Now take me and lead me to those people and to those places and to do those things that you want done. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in my life. Now, you might say, well, I don't know what the Lord wants me to do. What do you want to do? What do you like to do? You see, there's a parable that Jesus talked about those that had talents. One guy took and doubled them, another guy took them and doubled them, and one guy took it and hid it. What are you doing with the talents God's given you? Are you using them? That's what I'm praying. Father, the talents and the abilities and the things that you've given me to do, Father, let me do those. I want to do your will. Don't hide your talents. Don't hide your talents. Submit yourself to the will of God. So those are the areas that I pray for my life and his kingdom to come and His will to be done. Now then, the second thing that I pray for is my home or my family. My home or my family. And it's the same thing, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. I believe there's something that my family is supposed to do. I want my home to be a place of righteousness, peace, and joy. You come visit me, you should experience righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit when you come in my home. Now that's the prayer. I pray righteousness, peace, and joy for my wife. What's stealing my wife's joy? What's stealing my wife's peace? I need to pray for that thing. I need to come against that thing. And I don't just ask the Lord to give her peace. I command the spirits of darkness to get off of her life and quit stealing her peace. Do I have authority there? See, don't mess up the order and importance. She's just as important as I am in the family. But God's order is what we're talking about here. I cover her. I protect her. He has given me the right to pray correctly over her life. That's the way He wants to bless us. And if something's bugging her, I got to pray about it. I pray for her physically. I pray for her mentally. I pray for her peace. I pray for her joy. I love it when she's happy. A lot more than I like it when she's not. Don't we, kids? Mama's fun when she's happy, but boy, when she's not. Now, how often should I pray for my wife? How often should you pray for your wife? How often should you pray for your spouse? So in this area, you're praying for your spouse, you pray for your children, you pray that God's will be done in their life. I believe there's something for my wife to do every day. I believe there's something for my children to do every day in the kingdom of God. I bless her body, I bless her body, I bless his body, I bless them, and I just pray God's blessings upon them. Now, our children, let me just give you some things that we need to pray for our children. We need to pray righteousness, peace, and joy in the will of God to be done in their life. But also, how about, do you ever pray for their teachers in school? Should we pray for their teachers? And we wonder why the school system is like it is. We need to pray for their teachers. Do you realize that those teachers spend more time with your kids than you do most of the time? We need to pray for the teachers. We need to pray for their dates. We need to pray about their relationships with the opposite sex. You agree with that? We need to pray about their potential mates. We need to pray about their mates if they're married. We need to pray about their health. We need to pray about their homes. They're not with us. We need to pray about their children, their grandchildren. And of course, this can go on endlessly. But you see what I'm saying? You know, you come into this dimension of prayer and you'll spend more time praying, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," than you will anything else that you pray about when you enter into prayer. I pray for my parents and I pray for my grandparents, my family, relatives that the Lord quickens to me at this point in time. I just concentrate and allow Him to minister to me on things to pray for people in my immediate family and home. Thy kingdom come and thy will be done. In the third realm, my church. And this is where I want to spend my next 2 minutes. Well, hallelujah. That's where we'll spend tonight. We're going to talk tonight about warfare. I don't think, I didn't get what I wanted to do today, but I know the Lord's in charge of everything, and I think some things have been said that's helped us. Tonight, we're going to come in here, and we're going to pray to the east and the west and the north and the south. We're going to look at those passages of Scripture. You see, I'll just quickly, let me give you an overview. The church broke down into three primary things that it needs to pray about. Number one, specific people. You need to pray for me. Every day. I am what God has given you as a pastor. He did it. I didn't do it. You know He did it. I need prayer. You need to pray for my family. See, I can't have joy if something's going haywire in my family. All right? You need to pray for your leadership. You need to pray for the leaders in here. See, you need to pray for specific people. And you need, I get out the directory that Debbie's made. And we have a lot of new people. And if you don't have a directory, you need to get a directory. So that, and in that directory is listed the home and the children. And I get out that directory sometimes. The Lord just quickened to me. Get out the directory and start praying for the people. And it's just so, I open my spirit up to Him. It's praying for specific people. I'll talk more about that, and I'm just going to try to give you a quick overview. Faithfulness. We need to pray for faithfulness in this church. Our families, we need to be faithful to our families. Wives need to be faithful to their families. Husbands need to be faithful to their families. Children need to be faithful to their families.
Families, we need to pray for faithfulness to the vision that God's given us. We need to pray for faithfulness to our corporate gatherings. And we need to pray for faithfulness in our giving. See, we need faithfulness. And the third area is faithfulness to the harvest. And this is where I really wanted to emphasize, and this is where I will emphasize tonight. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 through 37, he's talking there about the harvest. And he says that the fields are white unto harvest, but the laborers are what? Few. Therefore, because of this, because there's few laborers, he says, therefore, do something. Oh! Therefore, pray, beseech the Lord of the harvest that he will send laborers into the harvest. How many of us have actually prayed this year for the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers? One, two, about four. How often should we pray this? How often do you think there's somebody that needs to be saved? Isn't that something? And he says, I want you to beseech the Lord of the harvest that he'll send somebody to that person that's white unto harvest, that person will be harvested for the kingdom of God. We need to be faithful to the harvest. And we're going to talk about that tonight. Praying to the east, praying to the west, praying to the north. We're going to do it. And praying to the south. We're going to ask the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers, angels, people, ministers, members of the body of Christ, to send them forth to the passing people and to take these people and plant them in churches. Well, they cannot be religious. I'm tired of religion. I curse the spirit of religion. People need to be saved. They need to be brought to God. I hope you understood what I just said. The religious people was who Jesus had the worst time with. It's the religious people that crucified him. And it's the religious people that crucify me. And it's the religious people that crucify you. They don't want Jesus. They want traditions and religion. They take your joy. We want them to be planted where they can be made disciples. Jesus didn't say make them religious. He said make disciples. Whew. All right. We've got to be harvest. We're going to be talking about that. We'll look at the map. We might need to bring your map, okay? Bring your map tonight. We're going to use that map. talk about Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. Jesus said this. He said this. He says, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. In that picture, in that mental picture, and we need to open ourselves up to the mental picture. He gave me a vision the first time I entered into this. He said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against us. What does he picture for us there? What does he give us the mental picture of us coming against? Do you see that? It's the gates of hell, folks, where the war is. Every province, every city, every place where people congregate, there is a gate that allows things in and keeps them in or allows things out. And that's where the war is. There is a gate over Lafayette. There's a gate over Tryon. There's a gate over Somerville. There's a gate over Rock Springs. There's a gate over Chattanooga. There's a gate over Dalton. There's a gate over Trenton. And we're to come against those gates. And then send the Lord of the harvest to ask him to send forth laborers in there and harvest the people. We're going to do that tonight. Tonight we'll do it. Has this been all right? Lord, stop the sun. Stop the sun as you did in Joshua's time. Stop time.